Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran here in Warren, Oregon. Today I am preaching on Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think about salt? For me, it's a fried egg and an open wound. I know, weird, right? For me, salt is a necessity to add that pop to a fried egg. Without salt, that breakfast egg is rather blah. But apparently, I'm not the only person that thinks that salt enhances the flavor of food, because the average American consumes 12,000 milligrams of salt a day. That equates to about 266 shakes of a salt shaker every day. However, that same salt really bites when it comes in contact with a fresh wound, scratch, or those winter chapped hands. Early man knew that salt was a necessity for life. The earliest roads were built to transport salt. The earliest taxes were levied on it. Some ancient cultures used salt as currency. Salt gave Venice its start as a commercial trading empire in Europe. And salt helped Gandhi bring India to independence in the mid-20th century. In today's gospel text, Jesus says to his followers, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, what would that first century person understand, "you are the salt of the earth," to mean? In Numbers 18 and Leviticus 2, God told the early Jews to use salt to seal a covenant. It was symbolic of preserving the contract. Those first century people would know that salt was essential for life. Salt was used to preserve fish, meat, and vegetables for the winter. Jews also put salt on their cereal offerings so that the cereal would not mold or rot. Wars in biblical times were fought with bows and arrows, spears and swords, resulting in a lot of cut-type wounds. And salt would be rubbed into these wounds. Now, yes, it really hurt, but it would kill the bacteria to prevent or remove infection. The midwives would wash new babies in salt water. Now, even today, doctors use saline rather than plain water for wound cleansing. We die without salt, but we also find salt transforms bland food into something complex and wonderful. Salt adds the zest we crave. So, what was Jesus' intention when he told his followers, You are the salt of the earth. What does it mean for the life of discipleship? Well, in all cases, salt is not useful to itself. Its value is in combination or application to other things. And just as salt seasons and enhances our food, Christians add to their community's life. They enhance life when they add Christ to the mix. Salt has a definite purpose in cooking. But if salt stays in the shaker beside the stove and is not added to the soup, it's worthless, and the soup is less for not having salt in it. To be useful to Christ, Christians need to mix into the world. If we never interact with non-Christian people, we have no chance of influencing people with the richness of Christ. The gospel is needed in the world, or the world will be infected with the contamination of the evil one. The spiritual health of this world needs the saving benefits of Christianity. Salty Christians are to preserve the moral, spiritual, and political health of a nation. Without us, the nation will begin to decay. If you doubt that, turn on CNN, listen to talk radio, read a newspaper, watch a TV reality show. In his next breath, Jesus says to his followers, "You are the light of the world." Now, most of you have probably had the experience of waking up in the night to find out the electricity is off. Or maybe you thought you could use that hotel bathroom at 2 a.m. without turning on the shockingly bright light. And so you find yourself in total darkness. It can leave one disoriented. We can lose the perspective of our location in the room. Yes, darkness can mess with our reality. And then we find the flashlight, or we find our cell phone and use its light to safely move around. Those small lights seem so bright when they disrupt the darkness. My friends, for too long, conservative American Christians have stayed in the background and kept to themselves. As Scripture would put it, "Verily I say unto you, the darkness is spreading across our nation as the incoming tide covers the shoreline. The time has come for Christians to make waves large enough to change the tide." Jesus tells us that we are to be the salt and light for the whole world. We are not meant only to flavor the hot dish at the church potluck. We are not paying the electric bill just to light the sanctuary on Sunday mornings. We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The goal of being salt and light is also for giving glory to our Father in heaven. Salt does not call attention to itself. Rather, it enhances the combination of ingredients. Light draws attention to other objects in the room besides itself. In the same way, our actions in this world should always reflect glory back to God, the source of the salt and light. Disciples of Jesus are to be salt and light by living the virtues laid out by Jesus. Think of the Beatitudes. When we show mercy to others, when we seek to be peacemakers, when we return meekness to aggression, when we seek to restore righteousness, we will enhance the lives of those with whom we live in community. We will bring light into their darkness. By enhancing and bringing light into the lives of those around us, we will be a blessing to them. At the annual meeting last week, I stated that I have seen so much growth in this congregation in their devotion to the Scriptures. Over half of our congregation participates in Bible study. Several have taken the challenge of reading the Bible from cover to cover. And I know many more practice daily devotion time with our Lord. And all this is awesome. Yet knowledge without a purpose only benefits one person. We now have a lot of information about Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And we're gathering information to enrich our lives and better understand the Lord and His plan for us. We pray, Thy kingdom come. Yet we can be a hindrance to the movement of the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough to know about God. As disciples, we are called to be the activity of God in the world. We are to live out our identity as salt and light. And that is why we are here, to love God and through us to extend His love to others. This is not a suggestion. This is the will of God, to share His grace with others. In the original Greek, the emphasis is on you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's not enough to work within the church community. We are to pour ourselves out in order to bless and enhance others. Now, I hear someone out there saying, well, I'm just an ordinary person in a small, ordinary town. I have no power, no clout. I'm no influencer. Well, please understand that no one is ever too small for Jesus' purpose. Remember last week's New Testament lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in this world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in this world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Seems to me that includes us nobodies, right here in Warren, in St. Helens, in Scappoose. Can we imagine what impact our understanding of marriage, of sexuality, of honesty, of self-sacrifice, of community could mean for Oregon? In the kingdom of God, even the smallest action is filled with His powerful grace. You are the salt in the lives of others. You are the light for the world. Now go in peace and confidence and serve the Lord. Amen.